in this first week of Advent as we focus on the coming of our Lord, not only his first arrival in Bethlehem, how he also comes to us through the means of grace today, and then his future coming. He tells us, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And so today let us consider the days of Noah. Taken from Genesis chapter 7, we hear select verses. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female, also seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made." And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days, the waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. These are your words, Heavenly Father, they are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Just a few years ago, I was given an opportunity to go to the Creation Museum in Cincinnati that is put on by the organization known as Answers in Genesis. If you ever get a chance to go there, I would really strongly encourage you to do so. It's quite a museum. They are in the process of trying to build and reconstruct a replica of Noah's Ark according to the specifications given in the book of Genesis. It's really quite a project. It may take them 75 years too, which is probably how long it took Noah and his family to construct the ark. Just imagine that, the length of what we today would know to be in our life a lifetime, to spend entirely constructing this ark, finding all the materials for it and getting everything just right. It's hard not to imagine yourself getting a little sick of this project. If you think about it, that it took that much time. And where was the evidence that it really was going to be useful? They probably were living in quite a desert region. I bet it would have been easy to start wondering and thinking to yourself, is it ever going to rain? When are we ever going to see rains that we would need a boat this size? And on top of that, I'm sure they had a lot of people in the neighborhood, neighbors that knew them, that would come by and ask them about this and inquire and watch them working on this and just think how ridiculous. Can you imagine the kind of comments they probably had to put up with and being told they're just absolutely crazy? I bet it was kind of a running joke. I bet there were a lot of great Noah jokes going around back at the time of the flood. I mean, seriously, if you think about it. We're told that life went on, was very normal for everybody else. Jesus tells us that at that time people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage right up until the day that the flood came. So life went on, and here was this family just intensely building this monstrous, monstrous building. Probably had the floor space of Walmart in town. To think of the size of this construction project. But I think the most difficult time for the members of Noah's family would have been this. They finally were taken into the ark, and we're told that the Lord shut them in the ark, and it didn't rain for 7 days. They didn't hear any sprinkling on the roof of the ark for 7 days. Now, while you're sitting there in this thing that you've just spent probably at least 75 years constructing, all the labor, all the ridicule you've had to put up with, and you're sitting inside of this constructed building now, and you're waiting for something to happen, and you wait an entire week and you don't hear any rain. And I bet you could still hear people yelling at you through the walls, "What are you doing in there? Bunch of idiots." Can you imagine the kind of jeering they probably heard? They had windows in the ark. They could They could look out and probably see people. I wonder how many people started throwing rocks at the ark. Imagine hearing all the rocks hitting the side of the ark. If I was one of their neighbors, an unbeliever, I'm sure I would have been hitting the ark with a few rocks now and then. Just think of the jeering they probably had to put up with. And then, once it did start sprinkling, it still took another 40 days after that. So 47 days total until the boat actually started to move. So that would be going back to midterm break for you right now. That you're sitting inside of this big thing you constructed, waiting for some great event, and it hasn't even moved off the surface of the earth yet. Were they ever tempted to get back out of the ark? Were they ever tempted to think, is this just all ridiculous? What a waste of my life. Don't I have something better to do with my life than this? Now, in Scripture, God uses the picture of the great flood as a little miniature of what's going to happen on the day of judgment when our Lord returns. And in a sense, to follow that analogy, you and I today are sitting in the ark. And yeah, this building, if you flipped it upside down, actually could look a little bit like a ship's hull. But in a different way, we are sitting in the ark, the invisible ship of the church, the holy Christian church of believers. We've been brought to faith in Christ as our Savior, in the waters of baptism, through the preaching of the gospel, hearing that not a single one of us could get ourselves to heaven, but because of what Christ has done for us on the cross, paying for every sin we've ever committed, through faith in Him, we now have that wonderful home waiting for us in heaven. So here we sit in the ark, and God has told us a day of judgment is coming, just like He told Noah's family. And we're sitting in this ark of Christianity, and we're waiting for that day to come, and it just doesn't seem to arrive. And sometimes it can be a little bit boring sitting inside of the ark of the Christian church. And sometimes our unbelieving neighbors around us make fun of us and ridicule us for wasting our entire life on just waiting now for Jesus to come back. And sometimes we have doubts in our own hearts and minds. Is this really worth it? Is there something better I could be doing with my life than just sitting here waiting for Christ through faith in Him? Sure seems like it'd be a lot more fun outside of the ark sometimes. But the rain finally comes, and the boat finally lifts off of the surface of the ground. At what point did all of the laughing and jeering outside of the ark start to turn into screaming, start to turn into people running to the side of that boat and pounding with their fists and screaming and holding their little babies and their children up to the windows to see if they could get them onto the boat? At what point did this turn into absolute terror outside of that enormous ark? How hard it's going to be for us on Judgment Day as believers in Christ who've been blessed to be in His holy Christian church by faith to actually have to witness people being judged and condemned by God and taken away from His presence. When the final day of our Lord takes place and Christ encourages believers to look forward to that day, but how sad it will be to watch the many around us, some who at one time were in the ark with us, how sad it will be to watch them now carried away in destruction. We're told that for 150 days the water prevailed on the earth. That will be from now until school is out, roughly. Look how long that seems away in May. But finally they were able to exit that ark. 150 days the water prevailed on the earth. It covered every surface. No wonder they find starfish on the top of mountains, by the way. This ark that Noah's family now exits, just think how differently they thought of the ark now, how differently they looked at it, that thing that they poured their life into that they thought maybe at one point had thoughts were a waste of time. Now think how precious this thing was. When you and I finally arrive in heaven and walk through the gates of paradise, we're going to look back on our baptism. We're going to look back on moments like this. We're going to look back on hearing the Word of God and the times that we prayed and worshiped. Man, we're going to have a completely different perspective on it once we're finally in heaven and realize what a treasure and what a blessing we have being in the ark of the Holy Christian Church. And so when we finally arrive in heaven by God's grace, we will have that true appreciation for having been placed in the ark of his church. But for right now, we just sing with his church, O come, Emmanuel, make safe the way that leads on high. Amen.